We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We had a caller before the break said, you know, the penalties haven't been as bad since the first game, that the first game skews the numbers. And the Browns would still be pretty high if you take out the first game. But if you look at the last three games, the Browns are in the are only tied for 12th in penalties per game the last 3 weeks. So the Baltimore game, the San Fran game, the Seattle game. So they have improved since week one. To talk about that and more, our Browns beat reporter Dangerous Darryl Ryder in studio with us, courtesy of the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Darryl, disappointing loss yesterday. They did a lot of good things in that game, but again, in some key moments, penalties and certainly the turnovers have been a huge deal. We know that the picks were not completely Baker's fault on certainly at least on two of them, but he at least gets partial blame. And overall, he's not going to get a lot of benefit of the doubt because he has more turnovers than any quarterback in the NFL this year.
Yeah, he's up to 11 now, and you know,
more than that.
The red zone struggles continue for him. Yes. I mean, it's
which last year he was great in the red zone.
Great. He was phenomenal. 20 touchdowns, no interceptions. About 66% in the red zone this year. My goodness, he's fallen off a cliff. And I don't know if he's trying to force the action. He certainly isn't as accurate as he was a year ago. And it's tough to pinpoint what the cause of that is. Freddie says it's the precision on the route running, which I think that that's some of it, but you know, it is a baffling situation just to see how much Baker has regressed from the Baker that we saw in the second half. I mean, he wasn't that bad coming out. You know, before Hugh Jackson was fired, he wasn't this bad either. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher with, you know, what's going on with six.
Darryl, I know you were fired up about the end of the first half.
You guys have won me over on this, by the way.
On the time?
Yeah.
It's really stupid.
You're right.
They should have run.
I defended Freddie initially, but the more I thought about it as the day goes along, you guys are right. He should have run the ball there.
Here's my thing on the timing. They started that drive with 5 minutes to go. So if you go into a semi-hurry-up type of a situation there, then I'll hear your argument about, hey, we're trying to squeeze two possessions out of that final 5 minutes. But once you hit the two-minute warning, okay, and you've got the ball at the 12, first and 10, your philosophy needs to change. Because once you're at the two-minute warning, you're probably not getting two possessions out of this thing unless you score on first down, which obviously they didn't do. Nick Chubb had a two-yard run to the 10. And then Baker has the poor throw to Jarvis that gets popped up in the air, picked, and then what was a 20-12 game quickly gets flipped into a 20-18 game because Seattle just walked right down the field in 8 plays and 88 yards and scored. So I understand partially what Freddie's talking about as far as being aggressive, but to me, your mindset, and this is a concern that I have with Freddie because these are things we're starting to see here. He's not good with the on-the-fly stuff so far.
No.
He's good with the scripts. The scripts look really, really good. But when it gets to some of these on-the-fly situations, even after the questionable touchdown that wasn't a touchdown to Jarvis, they basically ran. I don't want to say they ran the same play because I don't know that for a fact. From my perspective, it appears that they ran similar plays back-to-back with Nick Chubb there. That's not good. That doesn't show quick thinking. That doesn't show, you know, movement on the fly. So I think that at the end of that
half, I didn't even like the challenge.
Yeah. Well, I actually
once
I saw the goal line view of the Jarvis thing, I'm like, oh, you got to challenge that. The ball.
I thought you couldn't tell for sure. I don't know.
I'm half blind and I saw the football on the goal line.
I don't know.
So
I think it's hard to tell on those end zone plays if you don't have the perfect angle. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Darryl.
Yeah. So I think that there's some things that Freddie can do a little better to, you know, to help these guys out. as well. But that end of the first half just drove me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big momentum shift there. Difference between, you know, being up 11 at halftime or being up 14.
And
or
Seattle's
15.
Getting the ball to start the second half. So, again, true. That's why I'm willing to hear I want to get two possessions out of that.
Well, potentially giving them two possessions.
But you couldn't give them two possessions.
I understand. But my point is, though, okay, if that's your philosophy, then why isn't, when you have the ball at the five-minute mark, why isn't that sense of urgency there? Why aren't you running a two-minute offense there? That's my point.
Yeah, they're not trying to get two possessions. What are they going to do? If the Seahawks had gotten the ball there, let's say the Browns had scored with 45 seconds left, and the Seahawks get the ball back, or let's say they scored with a minute 30 left.
Well, let's say
Seahawks get the ball back, and it's first down, and they get 3 yards, and it's second and seven. Is he calling a timeout?
Who, Freddie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is?
I think so.
What if Seattle gets a first down, and they march down the field?
That's a risk you take. You see what happens on first down.
Right. Well, sure, it's a loss of yardage or something, but
if it's a 3 yard gain on the first down,
what were the odds that the Browns were going to get a legitimate possession after that?
Well,
to get a field goal?
Yeah.
It's possible,
but it's not that likely. I mean,
to get a three and out?
I mean, to your point, Bull.
But a three and out, and then there's less than a minute to go.
Yeah, but you can get a field
goal.
With
no timeouts. But
you
would have had no timeouts.
What about the Browns?
I'm saying if the Seahawks would have gotten the ball back, three and out, you call three timeouts. By the time you get the ball back, it's less than a minute to go. You got no timeouts. I don't think it's that likely. Even if you got the three and out,
even if you get the touchdown at a minute and 36, let's just say for the sake of defending Freddie here for a moment, that the pass is completed to Jarvis for the touchdown,
right?
With a minute and 36 on the clock,
right?
You kick off, then you go through the whole timeout.
You got a minute left,
whatever.
Maybe.
You got maybe a minute left.
With no timeouts?
Right.
I mean, you might get a field goal, but it's not all that likely. And that's only if you do stop them three and out. And by the way, on first down, if they gain 5, 6, 7 yards, you're not calling a timeout.
No.
So that's only if you get a good play on first down. And again, on second down, you know, it's not that likely. They should have run there.
I think he overthought the situation.
Yeah.
He's still
learning. He's still making some mistakes along the way.
He's a first-year head coach, and he looks like it.
Yeah. Now, if they had run on third down, on second down, you know, you could have thrown the ball on third down. You want to try to score the touchdown. I get it. But by then, the Seahawks would have been out of timeouts. All right. So, Rashard Higgins didn't play a snap. What do we make of this right now? Freddie's got him in the doghouse.
Yeah, Freddie says he's not in the doghouse.
I don't buy the excuse because Antonio Callaway, who didn't know what the hell he was doing, played after he came back.
Thank you.
I know it wasn't an injury. It was a suspension, but he hadn't been here a month.
I know.
Hadn't played all year. At least Higgins had played the first week.
And Callaway got 47 snaps. That was his reward for not knowing what to do the week before.
That was weird.
All because he had a great week of practice, though, Bull.
If Higgins is healthy enough to be active, why would you not play him when we know that he and Baker have some chemistry? There must be something going on.
I wonder how he practices. And I wonder if
who the hell is he to not practice hard?
Well, I'm not saying practice hard. I'm saying I wonder how he practices in terms of, you know, being prepared for the game plan and everything.
There's got to be something. So maybe you're right.
Anytime the coach says someone's not in the doghouse, in my book, usually means they're probably in the doghouse.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other reason not to play that guy.
Makes no sense that he didn't have a single snap. It just doesn't make any sense.
Or that they had a small package of plays that they just didn't get to because
Silly. That's bogus.
Baker's only completed 41 passes to that guy and 4 touchdowns. And
well, I mean, Baker shouldn't need him.
Who needs that guy on the field?
He shouldn't need him, but because he's got two great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, have one touchdown combined between them in 6 weeks. But continue.
Oh, they're not great receivers? Is that
no,
your point?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That they,
who are you
they,
blaming for that?
They've
blaming
got
them?
Two Cadillacs that I don't think they know what to do with. Mm. It shows on the field. I mean, it does. It shows.
In fairness, Landry's never been a big touchdown guy. But Beckham has, and he hasn't been in the end. They at least targeted him in the end zone yesterday, that one time.
You know what we call that? Progress.
Yeah. There was progress, even in the loss. There was progress.
Yeah, I mean, those.
I thought
those,
it was their second best game of the year.
Those first three drives were phenomenal. It's just
a
shame that they couldn't
keep played extremely well in the first half, but.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns had 2 turnovers and a blocked punt, and the defense gave up 3 points total.
Yeah, right.
In that stretch,
yeah.
Which I thought was an amazing job. But in fairness to the defense, too, there's only so. And Dustin, you of all people know this. There's only so long that you can kind of do that against a really good team like the Seattle Seahawks. At some point, the more pressure you put on them, that dam's gonna break at some point. And unfortunately, that happened when the Seahawks rolled off 19 unanswered points.
By the way, now that Myles Garrett is tied for the league lead in sacks, does he still suck?
He never sucked.
And is Nick Bosa still better?
How many sacks does he have this year now? Does he have 8?
9.
9.
Oh, God.
Sack counter's up to 9. He will have the sack record in hand, I predict, by
what is the Brown sack
Buffalo
record?
13
Clay
and a
Matthews
half.
Is playing before they were keeping sack
right,
stats.
But what was the official...
They still tracked his tackles on quarterbacks behind the line of scrimmage.
Right. But the official franchise record for sacks is 14. Oh. And Miles last year, I believe, had 13 and a half.
Yeah,
he was a half sack off. So I think that Miles will have the franchise record by the Buffalo game at the rate he's going.
He's gonna. That's the bet of
the
year.
He's going to have 20 sacks this year.
He might. He very well might.
Remember I told you, might be a good idea to sprinkle a couple dollars on Myles Garrett, defensive MVP of the league. It was 15-1.
I don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, if you lead the league in sacks, it can happen.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you lead, usually the guy that wins defensive player of the year is the sack leader in the league.
It was Donald last year, right? But he wasn't the sack leader.
He was just a one-man wrecking crew. He had fumble recoveries. He had forced fumbles. He had quarterback hits. And that's what I'd like to see a little more from Miles. The sacks are great. I'd like to see more of the other stuff, too, the forced fumbles and recoveries and busting up, you know, passes at the line of scrimmage and stuff like that. Yeah. Easier said than done, I realize that. And I'm not criticizing Miles. I'm not saying he's not any good. He's right up there already, I think, the Mount Rushmore since 1999 of best Browns players. But I just think he's so good that he can even be better than he's been so far, which is a credit to him. That's a compliment to him.
Yeah, only thing I said is that I would prefer him to be a little bit more active maybe against the run, you know, be a little bit more of a dominant player, kind of like the way Bosa was the other weekend. I mean, listen, Bosa's not a complete done player, finished product either, but I would like to see him, and again, I mean, some of it is they don't run to his side all the time. You know,
so and wisely so.
So lack of opportunities could be a reason why. But who knows, man. This defense is just kind of so hit or miss, though, you know, with Wilkes. Now, I know they're limited with some of the personnel and the depth they have, especially in the secondary right now. Boy, Whitehead had a rough game.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on that touchdown? Because he was it looked like they were playing man zero coverage. And he's got inside technique, and he just gets flat out beat.
Yeah.
And he was looking at everyone else like he's complaining about something happened. Like, was there miscommunication? Was he supposed to have help? Were they playing quarters coverage? I don't know. It was too easy. It was like Russell Wilson was playing 7-on-7, like 7-on-0. You know, it was just
he had a what just happened moment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that kind of stuff happens.
It does.
Guys, just want to look at this for a minute because I want to see, like, how does Myles Garrett stack up to Aaron Donald in some, you know, in some of the stats, right? Since the start of 2018, because I don't want to count Myles' rookie year. He's banged up a little bit.
Right.
Since the start of 2018, Myles Garrett has 22 and a half sacks.
Wow.
Aaron Donald has 23 and a half. It's only one more. Forced fumbles since the start of 2018. Aaron Donald has 5. Myles Garrett has 4. Only one more. Tackles since the start of 2018. Aaron Donald has 79. Myles Garrett has 64. Tackles for a loss. Aaron Donald 33. Myles Garrett has 20. And quarterback hits. Aaron Donald, 48. Myles Garrett, 41. I mean, that stacks up pretty well.
Yeah.
With the
only disparity really is the tackles for loss.
That's the only big difference. He's got 7 less quarterback hits in the 22 games that they both played in the league. Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in the league. And so for all this talk about Myles Garrett doesn't do this and Myles Garrett doesn't do that, his numbers, while not as good as Aaron Donald,
they're right
why
there.
Would you expect them to be? Aaron Donald's a veteran. Miles Garrett's in his third year. If you look at the stats over the last 2 years, he stacks up fairly well with Aaron Donald. Now, I don't know about like the Pro Football Focus rating. I don't know about that. But in terms of sacks, he has one less. Forced fumbles, he has one less. Tackles, right there. Tackles for a loss, he's off by a bit. And quarterback hits, he's has eight less. That's not a huge difference. Aaron Donald's better. Of course he's better. He's a vet. He's seasoned. Now, again, they don't play the same position. But still, I mean, it's not like, you know, Miles Garrett's making a bigger impact than I think some people have given him credit
for.
He
is having a huge impact.
Just because Nick Bosa stood out in that one game.
Sure.
But Miles Garrett may never have had a game quite as good as Bosa did in that one game, but he's had a lot of really good, effective games, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
And I think the stats back it up.
He's drawn a lot of attention, too.
Yeah.
And
by the way, Miles Garrett leads the league in tackles for a loss this year. Leads the league. And it's tied for the league lead in sacks.
What they need, though, is they need the other guys while Miles is getting that attention paid to him. You need the other guys to start making some plays. Need to see Olivier Vernon pop a little more in the box score than we've seen here over these first 6 weeks. Need, you know, Sheldon Richardson. Ogunjobi, I think, has had a good start to his season.
Richardson and Vernon haven't done much.
Right.
The two new additions have not done all that much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.